Welcome to another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I got Philip Walthall here on my right. And way over on the right, Scott Bishop, who is at his own personal residence.
That's so funny that you point that out.
I can't reach over and punch him from this position.
Thanks for leaving all that to me, Scott.
Too many bruises on my left side.
He's going to get pulverized. All right.
That's double now then for me because, you know.
We have James Huesler out in left field as usual.
Safe distance.
Out of the danger zone.
Highway to the danger zone.
Oh, please. He's gracious with your...
Don't ever do that.
Lovely voice. Everybody's a critic around here. Trust me, you don't want any part of it.
It is interesting. It kind of clicked with me just now that you said, and we got contact Houston. They used Houston when the guys are up in the space shuttle. And
that's right.
I don't know why that just clicked. Have you been saying that for a long time, too?
Yes.
A few years.
Oh, gosh.
Some of us are slower on the uptick than others, you know?
That's slower than molasses all morning.
Oh, boy.
Oh, me. Well, you know, it's a beautiful day here. It's the Lord's Day, and we've kind of been batting stuff around. It is just like the light bulb's about to flicker out. I mean, every time it's been blinking so many times over Philip's head, he's like, oh, wow. Houston, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, you meant this
one.
You saw that stuff was happening, and I didn't even see that at work. That's the thing. That's the thing. He is right with it. Oh, so it's beautiful in Georgia and as well, right?
Yes, it is.
It's just great that we get to partake of these kinds of days occasionally in February. That the Lord is good to us. So, what all's on anybody's minds? Do I need to roll call here?
I'll say something, Paul, and it goes with what Phil was speaking of on the trailer that Scott built for Davey.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, he did, it was just a point that was there. Scott built that in obedience. You know, Scott put in the chat that I thought I knew more than Davey, but I knew I didn't know more than Jesus. And I'm sure Scott had his own thoughts on what would be the right thing. But Davey was doing it in obedience to the Lord. And Scott had to make the choice to do it in obedience to the Lord by being obedient to Davey. And
in that,
it's still standing. You know, I don't know what it probably wouldn't be in the condition it is had he not.
No, and it definitely, you know, wouldn't have been. But the thing about that is, when I first came to the Lord and, you know, I had my struggles. And I was dealing with Melanie, and she was having struggles. It was interesting to see, like, this point expressed, which is, if I tell her to do something a particular way, and whether the way that I told her to do it was, you know, perfect or, you know, precise, if she didn't do it that way, it'd blow up in her face. Like, whatever way that she chose other than what I'd instructed just didn't work. And even though what I might have been instructing her, I mean, I was telling her how to cook food a different way, which to her was, oh, man, you know, what do you know about that? But what she was doing would not work, and the thing that I told her to do, worked perfectly. You know, so when you have that chain of command, the Lord can work in that, right? He can honor the word that you've spoken to somebody. And if they humble themselves to actually accept that advice and do it, you know, with submission, it can work.
Yeah, the Lord's going to honor it.
Amen. And that's opportunity. Go ahead.
I think part of the key in that, too, is you don't look at the person. You know, it'd be easy for Scott in the flesh to, well, I know more about building than Davey. But that's going about it all wrong. You look to the Lord and that the Lord's directing Davey.
The other thing's true as well, and the other thing which is that, you know, Davey's also knows more about obedience to the Lord than Scott does. And
and he knew the Lord's way.
He knew the Lord's way. The Lord blessed him mightily.
And what that was is opportunity for Scott to see how the Lord works in his way.
Yeah.
And did you see how that? That's how he was. Go ahead. I'm sorry, James.
It's a testimony of the body working.
Amen. And, you know, I mean, that really, you know, here's Davey passing on, seeing how the Lord works in his way, and Davey's passing that on to Scott to have that same opportunity for Scott to partake in how the Lord works in his way. And see that outcome of that. And that is a faith builder for Scott. And it's a good thing. You know, what was going through my mind, Scott Bishop, when you were talking about Melanie there, and the sense of it, you know, doing it that way, no matter what it was. It was interesting to hear her, and I don't know if people online probably didn't hear Thursday night, but it was interesting to listen to Melanie's testimony. And Melanie's testimony in the sense of where she was actually when Scott Bishop decided to serve the Lord. And she was rejective of those things. And she had a testimony of a bad knee or something. And she couldn't walk for a time. And something that she started out something that started out where she stepped out in faith years ago when she was a child, then she now started resisting the Lord. And when she resisted the Lord, she was actually given the enemy rein to come to kill, steal in her life at that point. And, you know, but God in His grace says she got a phone call from Steve explaining her what was going on. And what had happened was when she had turned, all those things left again. They fled again. And it was an interesting thing. You know, we were talking about how God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And when it was an interesting thing in that place of where when you actually reject that counsel of the Lord, or you reject the Lord and His ways, what you actually do, it's like an invitation for the enemy to come into your life. And it don't have to stay that way. And it's when you turn unto Him and repent and submit unto Him, that's when the fleeing starts to happen.
Yeah, when...
Well, the fleeing happens when you resist the devil.
Right.
Yeah. So you turn and submit unto him and resist that which is, you know, darkness, which is bad. And then
the other side of that is, you know, if you're going to be proud, the Lord's going to resist you.
Amen.
And then all this other stuff happens that's ugly.
Yeah. And the point I'm bringing up, it's like an invitation for that is when the Lord is resisting you, He doesn't bring those things upon you. No, that's the enemy doing that. That's not the Lord. That's the enemy. But you are resisting His protection. And you're resisting His protection on you and His covering on you. You're free reign for the enemy.
You open the door.
Right. And thanks for
basically,
that resistance.
If you're resisting
part,
God, then you're definitely not resisting the devil.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is correct. But
you know, it's an interesting to see where Melanie, I mean, when she's gone through that, it's interesting to see where Melanie's at now. Really is a testimony of just how good the Lord is and how the Lord can operate and how awesome He is in operating in our lives. You got Melanie, who was one of the ones that in the family, I should say, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, who probably struggled the most out of moving out to Texas and everything like that. But then now you see Melanie, probably the blessed the most. I wouldn't say blessed the most, but very blessed. You know what I mean? And it's a neat thing. A neat thing.
Certainly among the most blessed.
Exactly. Absolutely. And the things that she has shared with me in Texas and the joyous things, when she was staying with me, it was just neat to hear how much she loved it out there, how much she loved being out in Texas, and how much she loved it in the sense of having that time with Dave. And it's definitely has been a blessing unto her when she turned and chose to follow the Lord, regardless of all the fears and the struggles that were before her face. She became mightily blessed in stepping out in faith in that.
Well, you know, it's the same story over and over again.
Yeah.
As it works out in each individual's life. But, you know, you were sitting there trying to receive instruction and suggestion from Steve about dealing with the stuff that was loading you, burying you down at work. And when you started operating...
I mean, all around, really.
All around.
I mean, even here in the ministry, and I mean, everything, all around.
When you, as you started putting those things into work and seeing how it... seeing that all you got to do is try him out a little bit and see how things work. It not only changed your mind about work and your work responsibilities and you know all the other responsibilities too, but it did not just minister grace to you. That grace got carried to those who work for you,
absolutely,
whether they're believers or not.
Absolutely.
And they were partakers of that grace.
And they still are partakers of that grace.
And that education in the things of the Lord.
Absolutely.
The example that Philip takes into that workplace is there for all of them to see.
And, you know, it started...
It doesn't mean he's not still a screw-up. It just means that there's a demonstration there. And it's of the Lord.
And it's absolutely a change. And not just... at work, at home, here in the ministry, and what you see, and what I've seen in that is it went from, like you said, remember how bound up and fearful I was at work? I wanted to run away. I didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I wanted to quit. I wanted to run. I thought it was too much for me to handle, and it was too much for me to handle, but it wasn't too much for the Lord to handle, and it became from something that was really loading down on me as looking as a hopeless situation to it being, now I see it all as opportunity. All as opportunity of what the Lord can do in all those areas. All of them. And
we you know, until you learn that the Lord meets you in that, because there's a presumption of His goodness and just, you know, you need to just open, Lord, open my eyes to see this as an opportunity for you to show how good you are. I mean, because that's really everything that we start fretting ourselves about and, you know, don't see any way we can get from here to there and that kind of thing. It's all about your attitude in it and whether you choose to have Lord show you the opportunities that's here and avail yourself of his opportunity to show you his faithfulness.
Amen.
To show other people the grace and mercy that has been bestowed upon you.
Amen.
In such great a fashion that even a screw up like you can be his.
Amen.
And a minister of his goodness and a carrier of his grace that puts an umbrella over people that don't know him. Don't know the Lord.
And I remember just kind of going a little bit. I remember some of the suggestions that were made by Steve and to me, and you know, maybe to others is not that looked like that hard of a thing, but I remember coming in with fears and worries and, you know, concerns and, you know, looking at this situation and don't know where to go or operate. And he'd give me some good counsel and instruction and had that opportunity to choose. And some of those things I really didn't want to do because I was scared of the outcome of doing those and standing in those things. But when I did, the Lord met me. When I chose to trust him and do it anyways, regardless of how uncomfortable it was to my flesh, the Lord met me and it blessed others. It blessed others.
That was in a fashion you stepping out in faith and just saying, okay, Lord, is me and you is put up or shut up time.
And seeing the fruit of that is praise the Lord. And you know, what I was talking about stepping in, wanting to see them just flee. You know, there's that darkness to flee when you bring Jesus into that place. But the other reason for that is so that others may have that opportunity to receive the gospel. They're not bound up by the enemy's devices or the world's devices, but those things are out of the way so that they can see clearly God, the gospel of grace and receive it if they would.
And ones, you know, who can't receive and won't be subject to the way the place of business operates there, don't stay there. And you can't let them stay there because it affects all the other people.
Yep.
And it's showing them that, you know, you're going to deal justly and uprightly and not put more on them than is necessary. And, you know, that was...
And it's in each time that happens, Paul, it's yet another opportunity for them to turn.
Yeah.
It's not... It's an opportunity for them to turn.
Just a spiritual principle there. It's called holding people to account and requiring performance for which, you know, the blessing is... It's hard work, but you develop a team chemistry, and you know what the other person's doing because you know them. You don't have to watch them; you know what they're doing. You can tell by the way the orders are coming off the board. You know, and
I praise the Lord. I look at this one particular fellow that. Oh, man, I've had some hard discussions with. But, man, he right now is one of my top-notch guys. But without those hard discussions, that wouldn't have happened. Without that direction, and me listening to that counsel of the Lord to go forward in, that wouldn't have happened. And, you know, that's, you know, I praise the Lord. I know that's his work at hand. And it's an awesome thing.
In the time of that happening, he thought you were a jerk.
Oh yeah. Oh, he thought that I was just I had something out for him, but he came to realize, it was testifying to me just the other day, he came to realize that I was loving him and it was good for him and it made him a better worker. And I was opportunity for me to once again share the gospel and give glory to Jesus and what he was, and that was the Lord's work.
Yeah, that's
that give and take and that play that you're discussing that happened in your workplace. I mean, that's what needs to be happening in the body of Christ. I mean, that's what needs to be happening in the congregations.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Scott, when you coming down as when you were coming down with the, you know, I had counseling, but with you coming down, you have been helpful, I know, to me in the operations down here. I'm very helpful, and I don't know if you have seen that or not, but it's been very helpful. And so,
well, praise God.
Really, as an example to me, and an encouragement to go forward. Been awesome. I know the Lord has used you in that way for me.
Well, praise God, I'm pleased.
Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are the man that trusts in him. If that's like, you know, give him, show him, obey him, and give him an opportunity to show you how good he is. That's that. You know, my response to that is sweet.
Amen. Amen. What was it in that where he says talking about? And it's more than one place I know, but it's talking about proving him. No, try me. You know, and the Lord's like, look, try me. Try, do what I tell you and try me and see what happens.
I could look up those two or three words too, but they hit a lot more times than this one did.
Yeah,
this
oh, phrase, I hear you. I hear you.
This only had three entries.
But praise the Lord.
Forever to go through.
And
those.
It's the same point. It's not, yeah. And it's over. I mean, remember when, he was talking, when he rained manna from heaven to the children of Israel?
Yeah.
And what he said is, this is what you do. And when they did that, it rained manna. They did what they did. But when they went and went outside of that council, went one way or the other way, some tried to keep up, or then some did not take, or whatever the case may be, or didn't take for, I think it was the Sabbath. They were to take enough for the Sabbath day the next day.
Right.
Those that didn't take up didn't have the food, didn't have any food the next day because it didn't rain manna. And those that tried to store up during the week that wasn't the Sabbath, it rotted and got worms in it. And when it didn't work outside of his way, what he had said.
That was,
you know, kind of going back, we're kind of taking a full loop here of what we were talking about before.
That 40 years they spent in the desert was their opportunity to learn the Lord's ways and to come into agreement with it. And to be, rather than be consistently feeling like they were being stiffed and accusing God for bringing them out there, would be able then to see his provision and his presence, having already seen his power. And it was a demonstration of his power every time they got water from the rock. It was his power every time they got manna from heaven.
It was a power, the power. Also, when you seen they were led,
led not by, just not. And that was my point,
right? Exactly.
Not just the obvious,
right?
You know, the
right.
plagues and stuff that rained down on Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and all that other kind of stuff, which they obviously saw. But this was an ongoing thing that they had an opportunity to see that this was God caring for them.
Amen. And you seen
not bringing them out there to die.
Right. And I was mentioning
that was a choice they made.
Amen. And that was the fire by night. And also you had the cloud by day. It was the other thing I wanted to bring up. That was constant. Yeah, that was constantly. Yeah. The rock that followed them.
Yeah.
That fed them the water. That, like you mentioned, that was there for them to see every day. But still, with all that surrounding them, they fell into unbelief.
We eat up with people like that still today.
We can get
there.
Yeah, we can get eat up if we're not, if we'd take our eyes off Jesus in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's why it's a fight.
Yeah.
Put down everything that exalts itself.
There's not a good end to that kind of copping that kind of attitude. There's just no good way to that for that to end. No. Except, you know, to have somebody stop you cold and beat you about the head and turn you in the other direction. I mean, and that is grace to you, right?
Amen. And you know, it is. And what happens, it's and an interesting thing is because, you know, we've been given so much grace, sometimes we don't even recognize how much of the partaking of His grace we are partaking of at times until somebody points it out. It was kind of interesting. I was talking with Carter, and it didn't really cross his mind. I know his dad had some issues going on with his back, and there was a time years ago he had some issues going on with his back, and I shared with Carter, I think it was Friday night, I shared with Carter. I said, well, it sounds like the Lord's sustaining you, Carter, because you don't have that same thing, and that could have, the same thing could have happened. And he goes, and he just stopped, and he goes, man, you're right. Right, never saw him that fashion. And he's seen, actually, that it was just one of those things that's happened to many of us where the kind of that part where you just recognize more of the grace that is being extended unto you. And I said, as you go forward and doing what He would have you do, the Lord's sustaining you, sustaining you. And we have many others an example of the same case and in that way. Think of Carrie.
Well, we seem to have...
We lost them? Are they on mute? Or
no, they're just not saying anything.
Oh, okay. I thought that was showing up that they were trying to speak.
No, we're here. We're just listening. You guys are having a nice dissertation over there. I mean, one of the things that comes to mind when you went over there to Psalm 34 was... we had talked about a few weeks ago about the devils believe and they tremble,
right?
And folks, you know, are in worse shape than the devils.
The devils,
you know, many. Folks.
Yeah, that was it.
Which brings to mind for me the what is it? Proverbs. It's over in Proverbs 9. It's something like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
Right, and then you look at the Psalm 34:7, right before where you read, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And then you go to 34:9, which is right after 8, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him.
Who was that angel?
Jesus.
Yes.
You know? And if you fear the Lord, chances are you're going to obey the Lord. And if you're obeying the Lord, then He can bless you. It's all right there.
And that in and of itself is a blessing to those around you.
Absolutely.
Amen.
But what is we're at Psalm 23 where He says, Psalm 23 where He says, thou puttest a table in front of mine enemies. I don't want to misquote it. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. And thou anointest my
me a table.
But before my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, you're talking about the grace being extended to others there, and that's one that is just kind of, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is some of the things we had talked about last night in Bible study. But what is that for when that cup runneth over, that grace, and it's grace to others, that shows them that, you know what? They can turn, repent, and take part of that, of the Lord's table themselves. That's what it's there for.
Absolutely.
23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Thank you.
And thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. Run it over.
And that's where, look, but that table was prepared that if they turn they can come and take part of the Lord. They can take part of the Lord's table, just as you. And, you know, you look at, you know, I was reading in John 17 last night, and he's praying for those 11. And he's praying for those 11, and he goes, Lord, I ask you not to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. Why not take them out of the world? The reason why not to take them out of the world so that those that would hear God's word and receive Jesus can will come and partake of the same goodness that and the eternal life that he has for them.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. That's why that whole thing, when I was talking about going in it, and it, the devil's fleeing all these, they can take partake of the goodness of him. You know, are we bringing that? I mean, that's what the Lord wants to do in each of our lives if we will allow him to. If we will allow him to.
You know,
that's an awesome thing.
A little bit of chatting about this, but before the show today, the it kind of meshes a little bit with, you know, your testimony of you know, changing your attitude and your perceptions about what was going on at work, in your workplace, and in your other areas of responsibility. The hardest thing for us to do is to shake this idea that this is all of, it's all about us anyway. It's not all about us. It's about how good the Lord is. And when you really get exercised at, get some experience behind you at choosing His way in spite of yourself, instead of yourself, and letting Him meet you in these things, you are set free as by experience, seeing that He meets you over and over again, and then it doesn't become all about you, it's all about Him. And when that switches like that.
The switch flips like that.
That'll work too.
Yeah. I apologize. You said exactly what you wanted to say. Don't you?
When that flip happens, and you know, maybe that's to happen every day. I don't know.
Yeah,
as many, many times. As
first thing in the morning.
Oh, it's that old dead man again.
Get back down, you son of a.
Yeah. However many times it takes, but you start working from an experience base, and now you have a surety, a trust in the Lord, and His word being true, and you can choose that to overtake and knock down that old dead man, because you know what He's able and willing to do to prove to prove both Himself and His word to you, for you, and for others. Great day. Gosh. By the time I reach the volume knob, I can't do anything about the throat clearing. It's done by the time I get up there. I'm apologizing for that.
And you know, as I look, I know that that's just a taste. What I've experienced is just a taste. That's not the fullness of what the Lord has. You know, I kind of look at Paul where I press toward the mark for the high calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a taste. What more the Lord has for each and every one of us and for others.
Yeah. Seeing, live abundantly above that which you could ask or think.
Yep.
He's good. And when it turns, when you flip that switch from all about me, it's all about Him. And what you find is that's not just good for you, it's good for everybody around you, it's good for your family, it's good for your coworkers. And it changes everything. It probably gets the enemy upset. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But you have to be straight about who's the good guy in this and who's the bad guy. You know, Jesus said the enemy come but to kill, steal, and destroy. He didn't come here for any good thing. It may sound like he's negotiating a deal with you, but it ain't any deal.
I like what Rick had to say. He goes, oh yeah. And you know, he's talking about the gambling. Uh-huh. You know, I'm looking at the temptations, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh and the pride of life.
Yeah.
And you know, how he was playing that gambling slot and I forgot how he put it. And he was playing that gambling and, oh, he just gives you a little bit. Gives you a little bit to keep going more. And there's a little bit of light down there you're seeing, but what that light is the fiery glow of hell.
Yeah.
And that's where you're heading.
Yeah.
When you're following the other way.
Yeah, you see a light, light not down ahead. That light's a train coming at you, brother. Not a good thing.
I mean, I just kind of take a look at the story, you know, of kind of rock stars. Or shoot, even my own life. And the rock, oh, that's fun. Oh man, that looks glorious. Having fun, partying, being able to do what you want, da da da. You know, and then you look at the end. You look at their end.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing but a train wreck in their lives and everybody else's when they followed that lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It just was a terrible end. Some dying at 27. I think that's what, what's his name? Singer for Doors.
Jim Morrison. Janis Joplin died at 27.
Jimi Hendrix was very young too.
There's a whole bunch of them that died at 27.
And
that's an interesting age because you'd be surprised how many.
Yeah, and then you know I watched that movie The Doors.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer played, and the wreckage that he caused and the pain that he caused. In fact, you know, I don't have to look at that movie. I can just look at my own life.
Right.
Just look at my own life. And he changed from what was wreckage, misery and darkness and hell and destruction, to the Lord changed that to life and hope and life everlasting. It's awesome. And he's done that for all of us. And all that will receive him.
You're starting to sound like I sound when I try to get through the first verse of and can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood. I can't make it all the way through there without getting choked up. Amen.
It's a good
song. But you realize, you know, the immensity of what he's done for us, the most of which he did while we were yet enemies. That's how good he is.
Amen.
Phil, he's a redeemer. And you see that in your family and in your workplace. It's an amazing thing. It's true for all of us, really.
Amen.
Well, at some point, we ought to stop being amazed and just start relying on it.
Amen.
Because, you know, that is that's learning his ways. And, you know, it's like you get into Romans. When Paul says, I glory in tribulations, or it says, we glory in tribulations, does it say that? I don't know whether it says I or we.
I can turn it. I was reading that just yesterday morning and this morning.
It's got, you know, you're sitting there reading that and going, what are you talking about? I don't glory in any of that. It's a pain in the butt. But that's not the attitude. The attitude is that's how you learn his ways and his faithfulness and he's always showing up to meet you. So I got a James 1. Blessed are you when you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How do you count joy? But that's the worst experience in the world. Well, because you see that you still need grace and that he's there to give it to you. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse all our unrighteousness. He loves you, fool, idiot, Earth the dumb guy. Yeah.
And you see, you know, when Paul says that, he has a confidence in the Lord and his faithfulness. When he says that, we glory in tribulations also because he sees its opportunity for God to move the more.
Experience is you learn how he works.
Amen.
That's no greater gift than to learn his ways. When you see how he operates and you see that like in boot camp, you harden a guy up and you give him some, you know, some structure with which to engage the enemy. This is what this does for you. You learn that the person is leading you out there in battle is in touch with the Lord and his ways, and the Lord meets you and blesses you abundantly over and over again. When you need more grace, what happens to you? He gives more grace.
What's going through my mind is a skipping stone through Acts kind of.
Yeah.
Of shipwreck on an island. Paul ended up healing the sick, preaching the gospel. Opportunity. He looked at thrown in prison, the uttermost part. Doors flying open. Preaching the gospel. Opportunity. We've seen it in our lives. That's a mess. That's a wreck. Opportunity, Lord. Lord, showing his goodness and his grace and his loving kindness to those that would receive it. And really, the grace that is just upon that those that don't even receive it, it's still grace. What does he say? He gives on the rain on the just and on the unjust?
2 Corinthians 11:24. Of the Jews, I'm just skipping stone through Acts. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? It must needs glory. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. Really? That's another one of those things. I will glory in my infirmities. Say no. that's another contrary to
the natural man.
The natural man. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Arius, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up into the third heaven, talking about himself. This is where he learned the ways of the Lord. He's talking about the revelation that came to him directly from the Lord. This stuff isn't, he didn't get from a letter from the ruling elders of the Pharisees or Gamaliel.
He got the law from Gamaliel.
Yeah. Yeah, David put in the chat, the reason he glories in his infirmities is because they give opportunity for God to show his goodness. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. But, you know, you were just seeing this stone skimming through Acts.
All of them being opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of that stopped him.
And swayed him.
And it is about how you put what attitude you go into these circumstances with. And the attitude needs to be readjusted to, okay, man, this is going to be a great opportunity for the Lord to show himself.
Amen.
But, I mean, even in some of these things where he's in the middle of operating in a choice that was not the perfect will of the Lord.
I mean, the shipwreck part, the one at the end where I'm talking about, actually, where, you know, the Lord was telling him not to go to Rome, not Jerusalem, and that was one where he went to Jerusalem, you know, not so, Lord, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and he went to Jerusalem, and that was his journey from Jerusalem to Rome. But yet, was the Lord done with him? No. Did the Lord not stop being with him? No.
That was the day and the night and the deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lord showed up then. I mean, has not the Lord showed up in our biggest failures and mistakes? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse stations. Has he not turned what our choices were upside down?
That's right.
And turned it on Satan's head and redeemed, like you were talking about, redeemed those things? Yeah, you know what? Paul ended up getting to Rome where he was supposed to. Way he wanted to, could have been, but still went.
Yeah.
And you know, out that last one we just talked about, I knew a man, and he's talking about, you're talking about the direct revelation from the Lord that he got. Why did he get him? He got him so that he can go past those to others, so that others can partake. Just like the 11, when it was written in John 17, where he's praying for the 11, and he says, "And I pray not for these alone, but to the others that will believe on them through their word."
The thing that, you know, Paul ends up coming to is that in my weakness he's made strong. Infirmities keep him humbled, and they become his strength in the Lord, because he's not prideful. He's humble and can receive from the Lord, and consequently all of those that he ministered to could receive from the Lord.
Amen.
He was, instead of being a block to that happening, he was a channel for it happening. Amen. He was an instrument for it happening. Because
for them to build a like relationship.
That's why he gloried in infirmities.
Absolutely. And for them to build a like relationship unto the Lord as the Father and the Son.
Right.
That's the opportunity we have as well.
Right.
And that's what it was there for. To strengthen that relationship.
Yeah, those infirmities, that sin that was, you know, ever before Paul, I mean, the Lord says that his grace is sufficient for thee, right? So even in that, he got to see how mighty that grace is and how much that grace covers. And that's what he was ministering to others. You know, it wasn't that he was something special. It wasn't that he wasn't a sinner. It was that belief, that faith in God, that's what matters.
Yeah. That's what he says after he starts talking about the thorn in the flesh. That he might not be exalted. But that that his grace was sufficient for you.
He asked the Lord to have it depart from him. That,
you know, he said, my grace is sufficient to you. You got,
that means it was sin. It was, grace covers sin. Doesn't, not there for anything else. It's to give you back your relationship with the Father. The grace is through his Son, Jesus Christ.
And, says in we're still in 12, I think 12.
Then looking at that, where he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," that was it. That was, you know, as I look at that, that was a choice Paul had to make to believe that, even though he saw evidently before him his own sin in the midst of that. It's interesting when I hear Steve when he has preached. On, you know, there's times past in the struggle, and he's looking at this, and he's feeling like he's so far away. And then, you know, I think Davey asked him a question. Well, what does the scripture say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Well, there you go. And he had opportunity to yet believe on gospel.
This is 12:8, I believe it is. Yeah, that's what it looks like. 12:8. For this thing I besought thee thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the Lord's strength is made perfect in our weakness, our humility, our rejection and discounting of pride. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what it's all about. You know, do I want the power of Christ to rest on me more, or do I want to fret about my infirmities? Well, I'd much rather have the power of Christ rest on me.
Amen.
For others.
Amen. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because my strength is in Him. I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. He's rebuking him at this point, because he said, you know, y'all ought to be talking about what you've seen and heard from me amongst everybody that you've come across. You should be recommending me to them, and you're not doing it. You know, you're not and commending, you know, the knowledge of the Lord is a good thing to experience. It's goodness. And Andrew Flesh is not going to change. David's testimony as well is like just hadn't gotten any better in the last 30 years. It's still the same old nasty.
Said if anything, getting worse. It got worse. Yeah. The flesh got worse.
Okay. We got maybe 2 minutes. So anything to part with, guys?
Not here, Paul.
Anything, Scott?
I don't have anything.
Anything else there, Phil?
I had something, but I forgot it.
Of course. It wouldn't be you. If you did.
Yep, you're right. I'm straight nodding my head. I can hear it right now. They can't see your head nod, Philip. Yep. You're right. It was right there earlier. I was like, where'd it go? There you go. There's the thought. Blown away. Oh, well. Dang it. Come back.
All right, guys. We have Texas coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll see you next time.